begin this service by singing 208. Among his people, God is known. Most glorious in his might and grace. He makes Jerusalem his throne, her peaceful hills his dwelling place. Number 208. To you the 12 articles. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Further, we read to you from God's holy word, the Gospel of John, the 18th chapter, the first part, John 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, there was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also had betrayed him knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. And Judas then, having received the band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let this go the way, that the saying may be fulfilled which he spake, of them that thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having his sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my father has given me, shall I not drink it? And then the band of the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. The disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of his many disciples? He said, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. This far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and it be multiplied unto you from God the Father. And Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it is for the third time in this Sabbath day that we are privileged to enter into thy courts and to place ourselves under the ministration of thy holy word and testimony, that it may please thee for thy great name's sake, for Christ's sake only, to give us a place under thy word and a place in thy house better than of sons and of daughters. Thy hand is not shortened to help us, in all our needs and in all our wants. We are traveling to eternity, and we never know. Even as that one member that was lost on the evening still with us here in this year. And in the day of tomorrow, we have to bear him if we are spared by thy hand. There is only a step between us and death. Then it is eternity and the necessity to be reconciled with thee at this side of the grave that it has bound upon all of our hearts, young and old, great and small. Look upon us in this evening, have mercy with us, visit us. In thy favor, in thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, may thy word powerful to our souls, sanctify it to our hearts, that it bears fruit, that stay and remain with us forever and forever. That it find and place in the heart of young and old, and especially our coming and rising generations, in the alarming times in which we are living, where spirit coming out of hell more and more is dwelling here on earth and taking root in the hearts of children of men, that almost impressions of death and eternity are so far gone that in most of them is no fear of reverence for it. Remember us with our families, Lord. Thou knowest all the burdens that is laying upon us. By the consideration that we are all travelers to eternity and that we must be renewed, by the Holy Spirit shall be vowed to meet our Maker, that thy word be blessed for our soul, that many could leave this place in this evening with that impression that the Lord has used that word for the heart, and that he may receive the evidences amongst us and in our own heart that the Lord shall never leave nor forsake the work of his own hands, that Jesus Christ is yesterday, today, and forever the same. Lord, strengthen all thy servants, the weak and those who are in distress. We commend them at thy throne. Look upon all those that are laboring under the heathens and the Jewish people. We commend them also at the throne of grace, that labor be not in vain, but that it be in blessing for many souls traveling to eternity. Remember the widows, the orphans and widows, those that are in bereavement and sorrow, strengthen and sustain, those that are in the hospitals. Remember them also, especially that boy, under the serious circumstances in which he is laying there, waiting to hear something, whether there is still hope for him. that he shall come through it. Lord, remember him and his parents. Thou knowest under what heavy burdens that they are laying at the present time by renewal in their life. Have mercy with them together. Remember the children who are still in the hospital, that they soon can come return to the parents' home. And made everything well with all of them, also that mother who is still there laying. We commend her also at thy throne in all the needs and wants, for soul and for body. The boys in the service of the country, where that they are, leave them not over to themselves, but at all those ways be sanctified to their hearts, and that for the first time or by renewal, that they come to themselves as a prodigal son. There is nothing too wonderful for thee. That thy people in this evening be strengthened in their most holy faith, and that they receive an undeserved blessing and provision on the travel to eternity. Supply the needs and the wants which are the great and manifold for each and every one, and that thy hand may strengthen and sustain us in this evening in bringing to the congregation that everlasting gospel. Grant unto us a blessing for our own hearts, that we be strengthened and sustained in every way with the pardoning and remission of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 30. And we commence with the sixth stanza, number 80. For my affliction thou hast seen, and known my many woes. Thou hast not let me be enslaved, but freed me from my foes. Number 80, and we commence with verse 6. Thank you. beloved congregation, that portion of the history of the suffering of Christ that we will consider with you in this evening, you will find in the Gospel of Matthew, the 26th chapter, 47 to 56, Matthew 26:6. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staffs from the chief priests and elders of the people. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. This verse. This evening we will speak to you about the arresting of Christ, committed by Judas, opposed by Peter, and suffered or endured by Christ. Several times we have spoken to you about Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane and what has taken place in that heavy conflict, in that earnest prayer, and in that bloody sweat. The disciples, they were every time when Christ came to them, they were always sleeping. Sleeping not because they were indifferent, but they were sleeping on account of that sorrow that filled their heart, because those disciples, they were at that time for themselves in a great confusion, as it was never before in their life. Their heart was filled with problems and with questions. They don't know. But when Christ had fight with the devil and with death, then he said, sleep on now and take your rest. He would say, I have now ended that strife in the Garden of Gethsemane, and behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Christ, he gives his disciples a command to rise. He also said to them, let us be going. He stirred them up, and he announced Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. 'Tis now the time. It is now the time that it starts. And then you read in our text, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came and bid him a great multitude with swords and staffs and so on. It is remarkable that in the different evangelists, that when they speak about Judas, that they time and again said, Judas, one of 12. That means to give us an idea what it was for that blessed Christ, that one of his disciples, who was always with him for 3 years, and who was preaching, even with fire in his heart, and now that he was ready to betray his master. I say sometime in my sermon that, of course, all that takes place in the suffering of Christ, that brings us all back to what has happened in paradise. And when we think about that Judas, time and again fear and trembling filled our heart. That a man can come in his life so far that he betrayed the Son of Man. But you know, congregation, that Adam in paradise, he became a Judas. And he, when he was eating of that forbidden fruit, then he sold himself in the hand of the devil and denied there the Lord as his creator and as his benefactor. And you see also, and that is the first thing that we have to observe here, the depth of our fall. That comes time and again open when we consider the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we see before our eyes that if the Lord not protect us, that he grant unto us restraining grace, that we never can figure out where we shall come and what the end shall be of our life. Judas, one of the 12, so close with Christ. And now he had sold the Lord Jesus to that Sanhedrin for 30 pieces of silver. The price of nothing. Mary, she had bought that ointment alone, as that they have figured out, for about 240 pieces of silver. And now that Sanhedrin, about 70 persons, all rich persons in the world, they give in his hand, in the hand of the betrayer, 30 pieces of silver. Of course, that Judas, he was blinded, and his heart, he has hardened his heart. And then the Lord, he hardened his heart too. You see that always in the Word of God, how bad it is that we harden our hearts. What an awful punishment that the Lord brings upon such people that goes over their conscience. Because then he lay open for that condemnation that the Lord shall harden our hearts. And if he is doing that, as a result of what we have done in our life, then for such persons there is no more hope or expectation for eternity. You see that in Pharaoh, you see that in the king Saul, you see it here also with Judas. The Lord left him over to himself. As long as our conscience is speaking, then there is still hope for eternity. There is still hope that the Lord shall comfort us. But when that is gone, then it is all done. For Judas, there was no more hope for eternity, and there was also nothing that had any impression in his heart. Soon, the Lord Jesus, he shall say to that man, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Friend. He does not say enemy. He did not say to him hypocrite. No, but he said friend. From the side of the Lord, that is in the way of common grace, from the side of the Lord, then he had an opportunity to come back. And even the word that Christ had spoke to him, that would lay before him in eternity. Because everything that comes back in our life, people, and a blessing if it comes back while we are yet alive, and while we are yet in the day of salvation, that Judas came and with him a great multitude with swords and staffs from the chief priests and elders of the people. In another gospel you read that they came also with lanterns and torches. This They were armed. They have everything with them that they would say there is no possibility that he can escape out of our hands. Now it is sure, no more doubt. We were so many times in our life disappointed that we send out people to arrest him, and every time it was void. Every time then the people came back and they say, never had a man spoken as that man. We were bound by his words. We could not even stretch out our hands to take him. There's now a great multitude with swords and staves and lanterns and torches from the chief priests and elders of the people. You cannot realize, congregation, but an enmity that the hearts of the people had failed against Christ. And you see also clear in this history what that by nature is living in the hearts of mankind. And we have not to elevate ourselves above anyone in the world, people. No. But if there is a time in our life that the Lord uncovered us, if there comes a time that the Lord revealed unto us what we are and what we are by nature, but there is living by nature in our hearts, then it is to do away with the Lord. Because man is such in the power of the devil that he will live out himself, because the conscience of man, that is always something that keeps us back. And common grace, that is as a fence to protect the children of men. Because if we have to live out what there is in our heart, there is no man that ever can live with us in the world. For many people is that a strange language. But of course that is no wonder. The Bible tells us of people in Psalm 147 that is trusting and in the lakes. That means trusting in their own strength. And that is condemning so many other people in the world without condemning himself. But if we are realizing what there is living in our hearts, oh, then we can become for the Lord also as in Judas. And then even, not always for 30 pieces of silver, but for almost nothing, we will betray the Lord and the case of the Lord and the case of the church. Therefore, if we know ourselves, then we our pray that this protect us and preserve us as the apple of our eyes. Really. Because if you now think a bit your mind about those things, that Judas came with a great multitude with swords and staffs. And then for 1 minute, and then Christ, he was, while he was here on earth, he was a very meek man. You read that in the Word of God time and again in Matthew 11, learn of me that I am meek and lowly of heart. You read never in the old Bible that Christ was armed, that Christ had a sword hidden. Never. Well, the sword of the Spirit. But that is to wound the hearts of sinners and to bring him in the valley of deep humiliation. Was there now any reason that they must be afraid of Christ? No. Still, there was a fear in their heart. Because in the heart of every man in this world, if the conscience is still speaking, then the conscience that tells us that sooner or later that we shall lose the battle. And that we have to appear before the Most High God. And that it shall be terrible to fall in the hands of a living God. And now, the worst of all, now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. You can realize out of the text that most of the people that was gathered there with Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane, that they even don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe most of them, they have never heard him, never seen him. In the Old Testament, the high priest and the common priest, they had always a special garment or cloak that they wear, that was appointed by the Lord. But that ceremonial law that was gone out. Now the high priest, after the ordaining of Melchizedek, came to offer up himself for the sins of his people. And no man don't know him. No man. Therefore, he had given them a sign, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. What an awful condition, people, to give somebody a kiss, a father, a mother, brother, a sister. And as we read in the Bible about David and Jonathan, that is something special. We shall not kiss everybody. No, far from that. And now that Judas, where all the fear of the Lord was out of his heart, no respect for the judgment of the Lord Jesus, he comes there to Christ and he kissed him. Oh, the depth of our fall, people, to kiss the blessed face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was the only begotten Son of the Father. You read in Matthew 17 on the Mount of Transfiguration that when the disciples, they looked to him, they lay in brightness and divine brightness upon his face. And now that Judas, he had no respect for anything, for no one, even for the Lord Jesus Christ. He kissed him. And then, of course, they said to him, "Hail, Master," and he kissed him. He did even that he was the best friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was the greatest enemy that ever had revealed himself in the world. One day, he was fighting for Christ. Matthew 20, verse 48. When the sons of Zebedee, when that mother had asked that one of his sons would sit on his right and on his left hand, then you read in that text that 10 disciples, they were mad about it. And then with those 10, Judas was also involved. Can realize, congregation, what a changing that there can come in our life if that saving grace is never revealed in our hearts. In other words, when the root of the matter is not in our hearts. People that is fighting for the name and the sake of Christ, that later on betrayed Christ with a kiss and revealed himself as the bitter enemy against the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, you know out of John 18 that when that great multitude came to Christ, then the Lord Jesus, he had asked him whom, after whom that they were seeking. He spoke to the people, he asked them some questions. And then they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And that word Nazareth, that was in those times a slandering word when they used that for Christ. Bartimaeus, he said, "Son of David." He did not say, "Jesus of Nazareth." No. Because that man had respect for him. And he had love for him. But otherwise than the enemy, they say, "Jesus of Nazareth," to slander him. To pierce his heart with such words. And then, of course, then Christ, he said that he was the one that they were looking at, that he was the Christ. And then they all fell backward to the ground. All of them. But must that well be inside people when all that people fell there backward? And even with the breath of his mouth, it was in the power of Christ to kill all that people. But the Lord Jesus, and you see that in this portion of the history of Christ, of his suffering, he had given himself willingly and voluntarily into the hand of his Father. He would not go backward, but he would drink and empty that cup that the Father had placed upon his hands. He would empty that cup, that there was not one drop was left for his people. The people that raised up, stood up again, and then you would say they all were well fall underneath, and they all had well asked that the Lord would be merciful to them. But no. And then you see again in what a condition that sin had brought us people. In what a condition. And that there is nothing that can break the heart of a sinner. Nothing. There is a text in the Bible that said even that the Lord come with his judgment so that he come with his blessing. But the man stay what he is. Even when he is placed before the gates of hell, even that he may see the thing that shall make impression upon him, that shall bring him down, that shall bring him in the valley of humility? No, nothing. It is only the Lord that breaks us in peace. And that by his almighty power, but the responsibility that lay before men. And the time shall come that the Lord shall require that from our hands. Christ surrendered himself in the hands of his enemies. On account that it was the will of God, they bound him, and he gave him, he surrendered himself to that wife. All for his people that is bound by the devil, that is bound by the world and bound by sin, and that never can come loose from it. No, even that he would cry in congregation, all the tears in the Lake of Michigan, in the Pacific Ocean, in the Atlantic Ocean. It shall not help us, no, but it is only the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, and we shall see that in the days in which we are living, more and more. You read in the Revelation of John, after all these vials, then you read time and again, and those that were left come. Did not repent. And that is one of the things that our heart can fill with fear, people. Filled with fear that soon the long suffering of the Lord come to an end, and that he shall come with the wrath to destroy the world and everything that is in the world. But at the same time, when Christ surrendered himself into the hands of his enemies, then he required that they would let go his disciples. If you seek me, let this go. Such a warm heart that a Christ has for his disciples, and not only for his disciples, but for his whole church. And how they shall lead him as a lamb to the slaughter. He shall not open his mouth, that the mouths of his people are broken up, and that they can speak about the ways of the Lord. Christ arrest, committed by Judas, but opposed by Peter.
Peter was one of the dearest disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no hypocrisy in his heart. No. His heart that was filled with love for the Christ. He had even promised to give his life for him. He was so bold that he said, Lord, even that they were all offended of thee, I shall die with thee. And that was from the bottom of his heart. And therefore you read in the Bible, and behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Peter was, of course, at that time a young man, I think in the 30s, and full of fire for Christ and for the kingdom of the Lord. He was not a lazy one. No. He came out from his principle. He had given a clear testimony of it time and again in his life. And he would now show it. He took his sword. Did the Lord command him to give him to use that sword? No, no. No. When Christ was on that water, then he asked to come to him, but not now. No. He thought, I shall show, but there is him an art and he will show. I shall show. I shall reveal my love to my dear master. And he was thinking upon all the priests in 3 years that he was under it, that he had experienced that grace was poured out upon his lips, that Christ had the highest place in his heart. He took his sword and he go into that people, to that mountain, and he knew. And he was so bold, he had thought in his mind to kill all the enemies. And you read of not in the Bible that one came against him, that there are some people that say, boy, be careful. They take them up and they push them away. No, they were all afraid of him. I think he has something in his face too, to be afraid. I think so. He smote the fear of Moses, a servant of the high priest. Did he inform you it was? I think not so. No. He was in one moment ready to do it. And blessing that it was only his ears. A blessing that it was his ears. That it was not his brain. Because then it was done. Then he had died. See? But now only his ears. But a love to Christ. You have always to think about that first people. There's some people that say, oh, that Peter, oh, no. No, we are not in favor of that man. And he was this and he was that. Be careful with that. Be careful. To be in blessing, if he has also something of the Spirit in our heart. Please.
He cut out the ear of Moses.
There it lay. You have ever seen it? There it lay on the further ground. And now they come back in a tightrope. They come back in a tightrope, the Lord Jesus Christ. He bowed down and he picked up that ear. And he placed it again on the head of that servant. And he had done it so perfect that later on, that there was not the one person in the world that could say, look to that mouth. You can still see the sharp. What had taken place? No. Because if Christ heals you, he does it perfectly. There is nothing left of it. No. The Lord, he takes care for his people, even in his suffering. As we have heard in this moment, under the wrath of God and under the curse of the Most High God, that he forget himself, and that he was thinking, still thinking, about his people and his children. That later on, that they could never say anything about that Peter, what he had done, no. That they never could cast it before his feet. Thus Christ arrested, opposed by Peter. Christ, he warned that Peter. And he sets it up again, they sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. And thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? That is a number of about 72,000. What a number. And then you read about the power of the angels in the Bible. One angel slew in one night 185,000 soldiers of the Assyrians. One angel. And now that all that freedom and that liberty of that Christ, even when he was out of the Garden of Gethsemane, that he said, you think that I cannot pray now to my Father? Tell my Father, and he shall presently give me the desire, the request of my heart. There's a clear proof, people, that came in the suffering of Christ. Never a separation between the Father and between the Son. Then later on between God and the surety, but not between the Son and the Father. That was impossible. And why? Why did Christ not pray for those 12 legions angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? That thus it must be. Christ had known from all eternity what the Father had laid before him, what was written in the Old Testament, what was spoken by the prophet. He had known that. And it was his desire that it all would be fulfilled. He gave himself unconditionally in the hand of his Father. What was written in the scriptures, that, of course, that must be fulfilled. And he had bound himself with his heart under it. And that, to satisfy the justice of his father, but also to deliver his people out of the snares of the devil and out of the bands of sin, and to place him in the freedom of the, and the liberty of the gospel. This it was all to the honor and to the glory of his name. And now, my last point in this evening, that is, that Christ endured that suffering with willingness, but he sang of before, number 156. The God of vengeance will destroy the wicked from his sight. The Lord will bring to another power and scatter all the might. 156, 3 and 4. Of the history of the suffering of Christ's congregation, then we have to realize in which condition that the Lord Jesus Christ came. What a deep humiliation it was for the Son of God that he had surrendered himself into the hands of men, that they were so roughly to him, all the race cruelty, and that they shamefully abused him, no fear for nothing, no idea that he was the eternal Son of God, nothing at all. And notwithstanding all that has taken place, that they go on and go through in the enmity, because in that same hour said Jesus to the multitude, "Are ye come out as against the thief with sword and spear, for to take me?" I am a thief. I am a murderer. I am a criminal, a malefactor. Is there anything that you can lay up, any chance that you can lay upon me? You know that all that I have done in the 3 years here on earth, healing the sick, casting out the devil. The greatest miracle that he had performed. And even now in the Garden of Gethsemane, you have to realize that I am almighty, that I possess a divine power. And if I have desired it, then you are laying in hell already. God, the mercies of the Lord that you are not consumed, that you have still a place here at my footstool. Yes, see that I was ready to heal that ear of Malchus. You have seen the proof that I am the Son of God. Daily, I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. You have 3 years' opportunity. But you have never done it. And now, with such a great multitude of souls, heathens, and from the chief priests, there were, as you read in another gospel, there were even some members of the Sanhedrin that had mingled in themselves with all those people. What is now the reason? Is there now nothing? And nothing will bring you to any impression? Is there now nothing that can humble you? No. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. That is now the reason. And I have given myself in eternity already. And I have given myself now as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. I will lay down my life, and that is now for all, for such people as you are, that come as against a thief and a murderer, with swords and with staff to kill me. And it is in my heart, through that deep humiliation, to that awful disdain that I have to go through. Because they see only the beginning. Soon they shall spit for his face. Soon they shall bind it, his face, his eyes. And then they shall mark with his prophetical office. It was here the beginning, but the scriptures that must be fulfilled, and what I have in my heart, that is the glorification of my Father and the salvation of my people. I have in my heart the deliverance of sinners, and to bring them out of their miserable condition and state in fellowship with God, and to restore all that is that gospel that we have to preach in this day to you. And then, of course, the last word of this portion is, then all the disciples forsook him and fled.
the other way. Because it was written in Isaiah, I have trodden the winepress only. And there was not one of the nations written. Not one sight that we added to our salvation. Not one sight. Not. And still be safe on the basis of the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing of men come ever in between people. God's people that shall be saved because it is the will of God. That's first. And in the second place, it is the result of the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is also the guarantee of eternal felicity that is in the suffering and in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall stop for this evening and for this day. Congregation, better that we shall see one another back the next Sunday. That is an open question. One of our members whom I was looking Sunday evening still there on the balcony. Tomorrow we shall bury him. That man had not thought that it was the last Saturday. That woman, she said yesterday to me, and Friday when I talked to her, she said, it is, really, it is unbelievable. I am broken down. I cannot believe that it is reality, that my husband is no more. One Sunday sitting that twice, and now in eternity, without any suffering, without any suffering. And if it now takes place, congregation, that the Lord shall send that angel of death to us in the week that lay before us, can we meet our Maker? Do we have papers on the signs with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Such papers we need. Such papers we need on the day. Christ, he said, if you seek me, let this go. And that is necessary that we receive something for our hearts. Boys and girls, you are many times in danger on the road, in your work, in the car. Time and again, think about that boy that lay there in such serious condition in that hospital. Much fear, better that he shall come through. Think about the parents, children, our own children, and that the tent shall be eternity. And that you cannot come back to something what has happened in the life. Because if you have a child, a boy, a girl, that you could say, I have found them so many times in the basement. So many times upstairs, I have seen that his eyes were red on account of his sin and transgression. And I have seen also sometimes that he had hope, that he talked about that to us. Or even that it is small, but if there is something that is from the Lord, young and old, that the word of God may find an entrance into our hearts before that it is too late, before that it is too late, and then forever. And if we refuse to bow our knees before the Lord, boys and girls, men and women, the time shall come that the Lord shall break our legs, and then it shall be too late forever and forever. And now all that people that become a thief and a murderer and a malefactor, heaven is open for you. Heaven is open for you. Those that fall before him, the prayers and supplications, confessing the guilt and the sin, and crying, Lord, be merciful to me, sinner. The Lord shall surely, surely answer the cry of the humble. Amen. Lord, bless the preaching and the reading and the catechizing of this day in the midst of the congregation, that it be to an eternal blessing for our souls traveling to eternity. Look upon us in mercy and in compassion. Forgive all the shortcomings. Wash and cleanse us in thy precious blood. Be with us in the week that lay before us. Remember the families in all the nooks and wants, in all the troubles which there are. Give us together grace to look unto thee for mercy and for grace necessary for life and death. We commend the congregation with offers bearers at the throne of grace, with all that rule over us in country, in state, and in city. Bring us back to thy word and testimony, otherwise we shall have no life. Lord, remember us with all our dear ones also on the other side of the ocean, if it can please thee in the end of this week to bring them back, if it can please thee that we see one another again, supply the needs and the wants, and look upon us in mercy, preparing us to meet thee in righteousness and in peace. For Christ's sake only, amen. Number 416, we start with the second stanza. Bitter tears of lamentation are my food by night and day. 416, starting with the second stanza. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.